What is it, my brothers and sisters, if someone claims to have faith but has no deeds? Can such faith save them? Suppose a brother or a sister is without clothes and daily food. If one of you says to them, "Go in peace, keep warm and well fed," but does nothing about their physical needs, what good is it? In the same way, faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, is dead. But someone will say, "You have faith, I have deeds." Show me your faith without deeds, and I will show you my faith by my deeds. You believe that there is one God. Good. Even the demons believe that and shudder. You foolish person, do you want evidence that faith without deeds is useless? Was not our father Abraham considered righteous for what he did when he offered his son Isaac on the altar? You see that his faith and his actions were working together, and his faith was made complete by what he did. And the scripture was fulfilled that says, Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. And he was called God's friend. You see that a person is considered righteous by what they do and not by faith alone. In the same way, was not even Rahab the prostitute considered righteous for what she did when she gave lodging to the spies and sent them off in a different direction? As the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without deeds is dead.
Well, good morning. Good to see you. Welcome back to some of you into church physically in the building. Really good to have you here. Shall we pray as we look at this passage of God's word in more detail for the next few moments? Let's ask for his help. Let's pray. Our Father God, we've just heard the words or sung in our hearts the words that you have the words of eternal life. Where else can we go? And so as we look at and listen to these words now, Father, by your Spirit, would you bring them to life, as it were? Would it have a real impact in our hearts? An impact for eternity? We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, are you dead or alive this morning? Don't often ask ourselves that question, do we? Perhaps unless we've had an awful nightmare and we wake in the morning, am I dead or alive? But very occasionally that question is asked of people, isn't it? Are they dead or alive? You hear the story of the twins in Mexico this week. Crocodile attack. One of them being dragged under by the crocodile and the other one saving her sister. Managing to get her out of the water, and then the question, was she dead or alive? Were there signs of life? Christian Eriksen, the footballer, yesterday, collapsing on the pitch. And for those few moments, was he dead or alive? People having to respond quickly to try and save him. Are we dead or alive? Not physically, but spiritually. That's what James is getting at in this passage. Remember, he's helping us to see what it means to be a Christian, one of God's people. He's helping to show us that if we're a Christian, if we're trusting in the Lord Jesus, well, then our thinking should be different, our actions should be different. Next week, we'll see our words should be different. Heard a couple of weeks ago that we're to be doers of God's word, not just hearers. And then last week, we saw what impact that ought to have in our community. We ought to be those who don't show favoritism, don't show discrimination. We get to this passage here, following on, which is perhaps the central part of the letter. Can faith without deeds save you? That's the big question he's asking at the start of this passage. What good is it, my brothers and sisters, see that in verse 14? If someone claims to have faith but has no deeds, can such faith save them? This is really important, isn't it? Someone claims to have faith. Someone thinks they're a Christian. Someone's within the community of God's people. That's what James is getting at here. But are they? Are they saved? Is their faith saving faith? Are they dead or alive? Well, James moves quickly into an example. Verse 15, suppose a brother or sister is without clothes and daily food. If one of you says to them, go in peace, keep warm and well fed, but does nothing about their physical needs, what good is it? It's no good, is it? That's the answer to James's question. Somebody's in need and someone just says to them, God bless you. May it go well with you. Well, that's no good to them, is it? They're empty words. They make no difference. That person is still in the same situation. In the same way, verse 17, faith by itself, if it's not accompanied by action, is dead. Now, I think there's a red herring in this passage. A red herring is sort of something that can take us off course, as it were, distract us, make us think that this is what it's all about. I think quite often with this passage, we sort of stop here after this illustration. We think, well, if I'm a Christian, I ought to be doing good to others. Whether someone in need, needs clothing or needs food or shelter, we ought to be active helping. Now that's true. We ought to be. But this passage is much bigger than that. It's covering much more than that. We ought to be involved in those things. We heard from Mark Tomlinson about Sutton Community Works last Sunday evening. We ought to be involved in projects like that locally. Food bank and the night shelter, the food shop. Those are good things for us to do, but James here has got a much broader focus. He's going to go on to talk about Abraham and Rahab, and the examples he uses of those two aren't examples of them doing what we would traditionally call good deeds. Abraham's about to kill his son. Rahab lies to the authorities. And they're the examples that James uses. So that must get us thinking this is more than the obvious doing good to others. Not less than, but more than. Here's his main point as we work through this passage. Saving faith is shown in our deeds. In other words, what we say we believe is shown in our actions. A profession of faith, where we say we're trusting in the Lord Jesus, in his death for us, in his resurrection. A profession of faith which isn't evidenced in real life living, in decisions, in behaviours, well then it exposes that that faith isn't really genuine. That faith isn't real. Well, James then throws in an objection, but he says, verse 18, someone will say, you have faith, I have deeds. Surely we can split these things, can't we? In fact, what he's saying is a very sort of modern way of thinking, isn't it? Or postmodern way of thinking. Well, you have your type of faith, I have my type of faith. So person A might say, you know, this is what being a Christian looks like to me. I'm not really into church or the Bible, but I give my time to others. I'm involved in charity work at home and abroad, in neighbourliness, in community projects. That's what being a Christian should look like. Person B might say, well, my faith is a private thing. I read my Bible, I pray, I go to church. But it doesn't really affect me in things Monday through Saturday. Person C might say, well, I'm sort of wary of social action. I think that can be a distraction. Being a Christian is all about having right doctrine and the right ideas, things that are true. You have faith, I have deeds. Well, listen to James. Show me your faith without deeds, he says, and I will show you my faith by my deeds. Show me your faith without deeds. It's an impossible task. Faith is shown in action. But I will show you my faith by my deeds. Then he moves to three examples, and he's going to help us with this. How do we understand what he's saying? Three examples, the first of which is quite surprising. Verse 19, he points us to the demons. You believe there is one God, he says, verse 19. Good. Even the demons believe that and shudder. Now, time and again in the Gospels, we see Jesus confronted by demons, people with evil spirits within them. And time and again, the demons know who Jesus is, even before the disciples know who Jesus is. Or the crowds know who Jesus is. They know who he is. They believe who he is. This picture of legion. What do you want with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? He knows who Jesus is. But he doesn't have saving faith. The demons don't show, if you like, that they know who Jesus is and sort of respond in faith to him in a way that saves them. No, the demons know who Jesus is and they shudder. They're fearful of him. Their faith isn't saving faith. This is the negative example. James then goes on to give us two positive examples, two people who show us what saving faith does look like. First of all, Abraham. Abraham, this great figure in the Old Testament, central figure. Abraham, the one of whom it said he believed the Lord and it was credited to him as righteousness. God made promises to Abraham. Here in Genesis 15, the promise is this. Taking him outside, God said to him, look up at the sky and count the stars, if indeed you can count them. Then he said to him, so shall your offspring be. It's an extraordinary promise. Abraham, an old man, unlikely, humanly speaking, to be able to have children. And this extraordinary promise. Can you count the stars in the sky? Ever tried doing that? Even in Cheam, that's hard, where we can't see many of them because of the street lights. There's loads of stars in the sky. But Abraham believed God. How do we know he believed God? Well, it was shown in his life. It was shown in his actions. Look back at our passage in James, and James unpacks this for us. Verse 21. Was not our father Abraham considered righteous for what he did when he offered his son Isaac on the altar? James picks up what Abraham did. This great promise that God had made through your offspring, Isaac, who came to be born, the offspring would multiply, would be as many as the stars in the sky. Did Abraham believe that? Well, he trusted in God so much that he was willing to sacrifice his son. This one son through whom the promises were to unfold. He kept trusting the Lord. The Lord, of course, stepped in at the last moment. Provided a ram instead of Isaac as a sacrifice. But James points to his actions. Verse 22, you see, his faith and his actions were working together, and his faith was made complete by what he did. And the scripture was fulfilled that says Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. And he was called God's friend. See the contrast with the demons? The demons who believe who Jesus is shudder. Abraham, who believes God promises, is called God's friend. That's saving faith. Verse 24, you see a person is considered righteous by what they do and not by faith alone. Now when we read verse 24, it should sort of set off a few alarm bells in our minds. Hang on a minute, is that what the Bible says? We're saved by faith alone, aren't we? And James says we're not saved by faith alone. Well, he's not contradicting Paul, who's sort of stronger on this in Romans, if you like. How are we saved? How are we made right with God? It's through faith. He's not contradicting one of the five solas. Remember those statements from the Reformation? We're saved by faith alone. One person's put it this way. No, Paul, or that statement in the Reformation, that's describing how faith begins. James is describing how faith goes on. As faith is evidenced in our lives, as it takes effect, as it impacts the decisions we make, the things we do. This is how faith goes on. Abraham had faith, and it showed in his life. Well, James isn't finished. He's got another example. From Abraham, the, if you like, central figure of God's people in the Old Testament, he goes to Rahab, Gentile, prostitute, outsider. When we're introduced to Rahab in Joshua 2, we see that she is trusting God. Remember, she's the one to whom the two spies come to as they're checking out the promised land, as they're working out how they can invade or capture Jericho. And speaking to the spies, she says this, "For the Lord your God is God in heaven above and on the earth below." She's heard of what God's like. She's heard of what God has done. And she's believing that the God of the Israelites is the true God. But then what does she do? Well, verse 25, in the same way, was not even Rahab the prostitute considered righteous for what she did when she gave lodging to the spies and sent them off in a different direction? You see, she believed that God was who the Israelites said he was. He was the true God, the God of heaven and the God of earth. And so she acted in a way that was in line with that. This was risky for her. Here were two spies. The authorities wanted to find them and catch them and stop them. But she was willing to hide them. And then willing to let them escape and help them away. Her faith was shown in her actions. So, conclusion to this passage. Where does James end? Well, with this statement, faith without deeds is dead. When what we say we believe isn't seen in our actions. Look at verse 26. As the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without deeds is dead. Are you dead or alive? What does the DVD of your life show? What does the last 7 days reveal? Are you dead or alive? Is your faith impacting day-to-day life. Now that might include good deeds, things that you've done to help other people. That's a sign of faith. But you see, it's much broader, isn't it? The example of Abraham and Rahab help to show us it's much broader. Abraham essentially was believing in the resurrection. That's what Hebrews 11 is pointing us to, as he was willing to sacrifice his son. Somehow God must be able to bring him back to life, because all the promises are based in this child. Are you believing in the resurrection? Well, if we are, that would affect us, wouldn't it, in how we react to COVID. Do we believe in the resurrection? How we react to medical diagnoses. Do we believe in the resurrection? Rahab believing that God was God, even though everyone around her didn't agree, didn't believe that. Willing to swim against the tide. Willing to risk her life. Again, what would that look like in your day to day, the people that you're amongst? Would they see and know that you're trusting in the Lord God, the God of the Bible? It is everyday stuff, isn't it? Is my faith impacting my marriage or my parenting or my work or my impact amongst my neighbours? Is my faith impacting my reactions? We're going through our staff reviews at the church at the moment. How do I react to things that are positive or negative? Will my faith guard me against pride or despair? Are you dead or alive? We've all got to ask that question of ourselves this morning. That's what this passage is getting at. I think for some of us, it should shake us, shouldn't it? Has my love for Jesus grown cold? Is my faith not really impacting my day to day? Well, then what steps do I need to take this week to rekindle that love for Jesus? The action isn't to just start doing good things. No, those are the symptoms, if you like. That's the end result. The action has to be in here, doesn't it? Am I trusting in the Lord Jesus? Am I holding on to his promises? Am I spending time with him? The more I do that, the more the impact will be in my actions. And for some of us, maybe it is a wake-up call. You know, I profess that I'm trusting in the Lord Jesus, but as I look at my life, as others look at my life, maybe I'm actually not. Maybe I've said I am, but maybe I'm not really. Well, the answer is to run to Jesus. Jesus isn't standing there ready to sort of point his finger and shake his fist at us. No, Jesus says, come to me. He came for the sinner and the failure and the fraudster to offer forgiveness and life and hope. Run to Jesus. He's ready and willing and able. Are you dead or alive? Maybe that's the question you could ask of those who know you well. What's showing in my life at the moment in terms of my faith? Maybe it's hard to look in the mirror of Scripture and really see for ourselves. What are other people seeing around us? Am I dead or alive? Is my faith being shown in my actions?